A special welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for being here with us. I promise you, I am just as silly as you think I am. Watching at home, we miss you in the sanctuary. We want to see you in the sanctuary. The season of Advent is all about waiting. But if you are waiting for something, that means you are expecting something to come. There can be no waiting without expecting. So today's sermonic reflection is centered on expectation. So let me pose a question to you right off the gate. What are you waiting for? What are you expecting to happen in your life? What have you been praying for? What are you looking for God to do in you, with you, through you? Did the answer come to you? Or, if we're being honest with ourselves, maybe you're just going through the motions this year. Maybe the miracle of Advent isn't resonating with you. Maybe inflation is on your mind, or social unrest and illness, church stuff, people stuff, relationship stuff. Maybe this time of year is recalling feelings of grief, or maybe you're just lost in a general malaise of obligations and responsibilities. If that is you, I warn you that if you are simply going through the motions this year, if you are not waiting and expecting something wonderful to happen in your life, you are not doing Advent right. Advent is not just a celebration of Jesus coming into the world, but it's a celebration of God's presence coming into our lives in powerful and unexpected ways. Advent is a pivotal moment that changes our lives in such a profound and spiritual way, setting us on a course of events that are meant to challenge us, to inspire us, to astound us, and to shape us closer to the people that we're meant to be. So if you are one of these people who are not doing Advent right, you are missing out. As difficult as the present is now, if you remember anything I say today, remember this statement: you cannot make peace with lost hope. Let me say it again. You cannot make peace with lost hope. Last Sunday was Hope Sunday, and this Sunday is Peace Sunday. And these are two of the four tenets we're supposed to build our future upon. But if you are not doing Advent right, if you're not expecting God, then you are making peace with lost hope. And that is not the way to live right now. But the beauty is, despite ourselves, despite our worst inclinations, despite all the messy stuff that we do sometimes, God will still bless us, even when our peace is gone and even when our hope is lost. Because that's exactly what God did for Elizabeth. Let's break Elizabeth down in about 90 seconds. Here Elizabeth was. Imagine her, year after year, praying for a child. Prays every night for a child, doesn't get one. Lives in a community where people are getting pregnant pretty much probably every month. Every month somebody's getting pregnant in the community, and it's not her. She's praying, and she's praying, and she's believing. She's sacrificing. She's doing everything that she wants to do, that she needs to do in her mind, to receive a child, and she doesn't get one. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, even decade after decade. And suddenly, the thing that she wants so much, she just simply gives up on. How many times have we been like Elizabeth, where we've wanted something so bad, where we prayed for it, we were good little boys and good little girls, and we were hoping and praying and bargaining with God to get this very one thing, and it seemed as if our prayer was unanswered. Happens so many times. And the reality is, after a while of answered prayer, after a while of trouble and mistakes and burdens and strife, the natural inclination is simply to give up. A miracle can't happen in my life. I'm too old. I'm not good enough. I'm not special. I'm not worthy. So what do? If you're like Elizabeth, you just simply give up all your hopes and your dreams, and you just kind of try to make a life filled with all other kinds of stuff, and you're really just kind of walking around half alive, with a bit of anger or resentment or sadness that lives in you, unable to be complete. But the truth is, with Elizabeth, a dream deferred is not a dream denied. And that's a message for all of us. It wasn't that Elizabeth's prayer was unanswered. It wasn't that she was too old, or she wasn't worthy, or she wasn't good enough. The answer was, it wasn't time. Now, you and I, as human beings, we get lost in this misconception of time. We pray, hey, God, next week my rent is due, so I kind of need you to pull out $1,500 out of the sky. As if Jesus wears a watch. God doesn't wear a watch. Time doesn't matter to God. Why? Because God made time. And we're continuing to think and mold a God who just wants to move when we want God to move. And that's just not simply how God moves. And in Elizabeth's life, God doesn't move when she needs him to move. But God moves when he knew she needed his intervention. What do I mean by that? Come on, I'm coming down, Jimmy. I always do that to warn Jimmy. If you read the scripture says that Elizabeth had to be pregnant at the time that she meets Mary. So Elizabeth's pregnancy is not just for Elizabeth, but Elizabeth's testimony is a bit of prophecy as well. It's John the Baptist's reaction in Elizabeth's belly that lets Mary know, hey, something really special is happening in my life. Now, imagine if this baby was born decades before. If the baby's born decades before, then Elizabeth and Mary don't meet at the same time. Also, if you read along in scripture, it says when Elizabeth finally moves out of seclusion and shows herself to everybody, the whole community is rejoicing with her. So not only does Elizabeth get to participate in the miracle, but the whole community gets to participate in the miracle too. The miracles of God are not just for us, but they're for the people around us as well. So it's not a matter of, is God going to do this in my time? God's going to do it in God's time. And God's time is greater than our understanding of time. So, what does this all mean? I ask people in Sunday school, and I'm going to ask all of you, what's inside of you? What's your hopes? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? Usually I make you write down on an index card, what do you want God to do for you this year? But we're not going to do that. Because if everybody is honest with themselves, everybody knows. Some of us want a better job. Some of us want a better place to live. Some of us want better friends. Some of us want our family to work better. Some of us just want to be happy. The expectations that we have are not foreign to God. And the miracles that we're looking for, because our expectations border on the miraculous. If I told you 30 years ago, and I say it all the time, that I would be standing right here, nobody in my life would have believed. Some of us have been here who overcome sickness. Some of us have had cancer, other diseases, other illnesses, and been saved and spared from them. Those were miracles. But you know what else is a miracle? Waking up every morning is a miracle. Why? Because you can't do it on your own. Right? How many of us, show of hands, at around 6 o'clock in the morning goes in their subconscious, wake up now, and they wake up? Who? No one does, right? Which means that it's a miracle. We have made, is that 10? Y'all should have known I was going to go 10. That's all right. But I'm going to wrap up. I know, everyone's like, yeah, Richard, 10 minutes, yeah, right. But the understanding is, the word miracle is so big, and we take it for granted. It's a miracle that I met Sanford. Right? How many times have you been to Brooklyn, Sanford?
Well, let's see. The count, let's see. None.
None. So there's no way Sanford and I would have crossed paths. I'm just picturing Sanford shooting dice in Brooklyn right now. Not that I did that. Anyway, but miracles, we take these things for granted. Love is a miracle. Family is a miracle. Togetherness is a miracle. I'm telling you, when I was 9 years old, no, when I was 8 years old, I tell the story sometimes. I was in the third grade, coming home from school. This is going to wait minutes. But I went home, and I saw a big red paper on the door. And I had no idea what it was. But I knew the word started with an E and ended with an N. And that word is eviction. My mother, my sister, and I lived in a studio apartment. Three of us. And the only piece of furniture we had was a sectional. My mother and sister lived and slept together on the pullout. My sister was 10, by the way. My mother was 40. And I was 7, sleeping on the arm of it. And we couldn't even keep that. Now, my children each have their own room and won't go in it. To the common eye, that's not a miracle, but it is. For someone to come from where I came from to be where I am is a miracle. But the same can be said about each and every one of you. Maybe your life was easier, but you've been through some challenges. And you can't believe where you are either. The sights that you've seen, the wonders that you've seen, the beauty of family. This is not the work of us, this is the work of God. So the miracles that we're looking for are not coming from these outside sources, but the miracles are inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. And just as the Holy Spirit comes into Mary, the same way the Spirit comes into us and nurtures us and changes us to being the kind of people that God has called us to be. But without faith, and this is the last thing I'll say, without faith, there's no miracle. Elizabeth didn't even have an encounter with an angel. If you think about Zechariah, and you think about Mary, you think about Joseph, you think about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the only one that people didn't talk to. So it doesn't come in a loud, bombastic way all the time. Sometimes God just comes in our everyday lives without us even expecting it. But it's the faith to believe in the miraculous that transforms us. It's the faith to believe that the things that we are expecting will come to pass. No faith, no miracle. But if you've lost hope, if you made peace with lost hope, then you aren't looking and believing in miracles anymore, and that is doing wrong. So from the very small to the very large things that we're expecting and hoping and praying and wishing God will do, we have to walk in faith. You young kids, faith that rose, Jesus Christ has the power to give you exactly what he said he would give you. That's faith. I explained faith to a child. It's the same way for us. We have to believe. I want a change in my life. I'll tell you, I'm expecting to be happier next year. I have not been happy this year. Now, you see me on Sunday, hi, everybody, and I smile, but I haven't been happy this year. I've been frustrated and angry and anxious. And I'm expecting God to change that. And how do I know God's going to change that? The same way that evicted boy lives in a nice house now is the same way I believe that the circumstances of my life are going to change in my favor, to where the anger and the sadness and the frustration that I've had all year is going to dissipate. If you're looking for love, if you're looking for happiness, if you're looking for acceptance, it's there, it's inside of us. But we have to have the faith that God will change the circumstances around us to where we need to be. So if you lost hope, so if your life is void of peace, have faith to believe that God is your circumstances. And whatever you are expecting, and no expectation too small, believe in faith that God will grant you and push us closer to everything God has promised. I am huge on the promises. If God has promised abundance, abundance is coming. But we stop it. Stop. Have the faith, even mustard seed, microscopic faith. And watch your circumstances change. Was that 15? That's more like 15 minutes, right? But that's all right. That's all right. I love Dakota. Walk in faith, y'all. Inch. In this season of expectation, Lord, maybe we're not looking for a baby. Maybe we are. But we are looking for a miracle. Even if that miracle is waking up for the next 365 days in 2023, because there's more in store for us. The miracle is enjoying our friends and our family and our loved ones. If the miracle is as small as getting to and from church safely. Lord, we're expecting miracles. And for those who are not expecting miracles, Lord, those who have been disappointed and beat down and frustrated, Lord, I pray that you take that pain away and that you fill it with joy and that you fill it with faith, the faith to believe that a brighter day is ahead. Lord, remind us of our power, that we have the ability to change our circumstances. We have the ability to make our situations better. And remind us that the miraculous is at our disposal. So we pray for the miracle inside of us to be manifested in the unique individual ways that we've called them to. Take our grief away and fill it with happiness. Take our financial situations away from us and give us security. Take our anger away. Take our uncertainty away. Take our insecurities and our doubts away. And help us to walk confidently with our heads held high in faith. No more high. But only moving the way you've called us to move. Bless our families, bless our friendships, bless our relationship one with another under this steeple. remind us that the power is in us, that you live in us. Bless us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.